Let's say that you were going to start a church. What kinds of things would you do? What would that church be like? What kinds of things would you be devoted to? In the second chapter of Acts, we see a description of a church that's vibrant and alive, and the fellowship is rich and it's growing. How does a church like that happen? Well, let's read about it. In Acts chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 42 and read through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, we read about that just after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the apostles, and 3,000 people join the church that very day. And verse 42 tells us that the Holy Spirit produced something in the people. It uses the word devotion. They are devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the fellowship, devoted to the breaking of bread, devoted to prayer. Now, if you look that word up in the Greek, it means to diligently work at something. So they worked at these things. And if you look up Webster's definition, it means to apply one's time zealously to something. Now, is there anything you are devoted to? A person, an activity, a hobby, a TV show, a sport? If you are, then you understand what devotion means. And whatever you are devoted to in life, the scripture is calling us to also be devoted to the things of God. Now, the first thing they were devoted to was the apostles' teaching. The apostle taught all the time. The people would listen to the apostles' teaching, but the idea here is that they're devoted to what they taught. And there's a difference between hearing what's taught and being devoted to it. Now, I've been a gardener for a long time. Had a year-round garden in California. So then I come to Kansas, and I thought, well, I know I have to garden differently here. So I read a book on gardening in the Midwest. And I thought, okay, I know how to do this. And then my first year, my garden was a flop. It wasn't enough for me to read. So then I heard that there's some master gardeners in the church. And so I started to have conversations with them, and then I would implement what they told me to do. And then I started to get better crops from my garden. You see, it wasn't enough for me to just read and hear. Being devoted meant I needed to apply what I read and heard. And so that early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And you know, we still have the apostles' teaching today. We call it the New Testament. In fact, the criteria for a book being in the New Testament is that it had apostolic teaching or authority behind it. So for example, the Gospel of Luke. Luke wasn't an apostle, but he was the companion of Paul, and so that book had apostolic authority. And so the exhortation here is to be devoted to what the apostles taught. Now, you probably read the scriptures. You've probably learned the scriptures. You hear many sermons throughout the year. Good. Are you devoted to what the scriptures say and teach? That's the measure. Well, there's a second thing that the early church was devoted to. And they were devoted to the fellowship. Now, that word in Greek is koinonia. It means an intimate sharing. But it wasn't just devotion to fellowship in general, because a definite article is used here in the Greek. So they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to these people that the Lord had called together to form the church. And their sharing took several forms. We read about them sharing with other people who were in the church so that no one in the church had need. Their attitude towards possession was, well, they're not just mine, they're for the people of God and for the advance of the gospel. And so this was their attitude towards stuff and goods and wealth. But there was also an intimate sharing. That's what's implied in koinonia. And so they shared burdens, griefs, struggles, fears. And then other people in the body encouraged them in all those things. Now, it's hard to have that kind of koinonia in a large body like this, but we can have that in our small groups, our grow groups. I would encourage you to have at least one friend in the body of Christ that I can be honest with, that I can share with, who can speak to you the words of God as you go through various trials and areas of life. Well, there's a third thing that they're committed to, and that is they were committed to the sacrament of the Lord's table. It says they were committed to the breaking of the bread. Now, if you use breaking bread, and then later on in the passage, it's going to say they broke bread together in each other's homes. That's having meals together. But here in verse 42, it says they are committed to the breaking of the bread. And that's a descriptive of the Lord's Supper. So that tells us that they were a worshiping church that observed the sacrament, and that tells us that Christ was at the center of their worship. And so Christ is at the center of what they do. And the point of worship is not to entertain. It's not to wow the crowd. The purpose of worship is to exalt Christ. And the measure of whether you have worshiped well or not is, has Christ been exalted? And you can do that. The liturgy and hymns and music, or praise band, or sacrament. Today we will celebrate the Lord's table. And the bread reminds us of the great love and grace of God and his Son Jesus Christ because he offered his body. And drinking the wine reminds us that we are forgiven because his blood atones for our sins. We take it together, reminding us that we are one body. Now the Spirit also move them to devote themselves to prayer. And again, the definite article is used in the Greek, and so they were devoted to the prayers. These were set times when the body of Christ would come together to pray. It wasn't just, hey, let's have a word of prayer before we begin. But it's a continuous prayer that's going on in the church at set times. Now, in our personal life, what would it look like if we were devoted to prayer? So if you were to ask yourself, what would my life look like if I was devoted to prayer? Well, what would that look like? Would there be set times? Would there be a particular length of time? Would there be attending some kind of fellowship or prayer group with others? The Spirit moved the church to be devoted to prayer. Now, J.I. Packer says, the Spirit does not move where there is not much prayer. So a church that wants to be vibrant and growing and effective in bringing people to Jesus, notice there's no mention of strategic plan. There's no mention of a wowing crowd. There's no mention of having an entertaining service. Whenever you read Scripture, the precursor to the Spirit's move is always repentance and prayer. So the Holy Spirit moved the early church to be continuously devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to worship, the sacrament in the center of it, and to prayer. And look at what kind of church it produced. Everyone was filled with awe. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and good they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Devotion came first, then the other things followed. Now notice they were doing this together. Every believer needs the church to grow in their faith. When the Spirit calls you to Christ, He also calls you to His body, the church. There's no spiritual concept of a person coming to Jesus and being a lone ranger Christian outside the church. It's just a foreign concept in Scripture. It's because when you're called to Jesus, you're always called to be part of His body. Today, I run across many people who see the church as optional. They'll say, oh, I believe in Jesus. And then I'll ask them, well, what church do you go to? They go, oh, we don't go to church. I don't go to a church. And they don't want to be part of the church. Perhaps there was some kind of disappointment or hurt that came from the church in their past. But whoever said the church was perfect? Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says that sinners are called into the church. It tells us that we are being refined, that we are being made holy. That means we're not refined yet. We're not holy yet. The church, despite its imperfections, is still plan A for God redeeming the world. And if you're not part of the church, then you're not participating in that plan, whether you say you follow Jesus or not. Let me also speak to folks who watch the church from afar. You know, COVID made that a necessity. And then I think for many, it became a habit. And I can understand how that habit was formed. In the first days of COVID, I would record my sermon to an empty congregation. I just had a camera and I would talk to the camera. And the choir had an ensemble of 8 people and they would record their music sometime on Wednesday night. And then the praise band would record their music sometime on Thursday. And then, you know, Nick would edit that and put it together. And this is what you saw online. And those first few Sunday mornings, I thought, I could get used to this. I would go to my in-laws' house. I'd sit in a recliner. I'd have my coffee. I'd just be dressed casual, maybe in some sweats, and I'd watch the service online. I remember telling Nancy first few weeks, oh, I could get used to this. But after a few months of this, I realized I am not worshiping. I am missing the fellowship. We are not celebrating the sacraments. and I am not experiencing the presence of God. Because you don't experience that on a screen. All right. I think some people got in the habit of staying home. And it's a habit that's not good. Now, I understand the necessity for some because of health reasons. They have to stay home. They have mobility issues, they have health issues, and we are happy to bring the church to you. We are always going to bring the church to you. But it is a shadow of the church. It's a church without sacrament, without true worship, without presence. And that's not good for your soul. And then, I'm going to talk to our congregation at Larksfield. And you know what? I love it that you are a congregation at Larksfield. And I don't put you on the same plane as people who sit in the living room because you're watching the service. You're singing the hymns with the congregation and the choir, and you have hymnals, and we have an elder there serving you the sacraments. It's a church within a church. And we're just happy that you're that. If you got out of the habit of attending church, that's a good habit to have to come back to church. It's good for your soul. And if you're thinking, let me just say this. If you're going out to dinner and you're shopping, then isolation is no longer a reason for you to stay at home. Come back. We will embrace you into the full life of the church. And so the church was then together. Let me say another thing about the church, of this early church. The Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. That means they had to be a witnessing church because people don't come to the Lord daily unless people are telling other people about Jesus. And so these early followers of Christ did that. They were excited about their faith, and maybe you don't share because you're not excited about your faith. Or maybe you've just have gotten the habit of living in a Christian cocoon. I encourage you to get out of the cocoon if you can. And perhaps why excitement has waned, it's because devotion has waned. Notice they're devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, to sacrament. Everything else good followed after that. Another thing we can say about the Lord adding to their numbers daily is that the Lord added to their numbers. It's the Lord's work. Yes, the people witness, but it doesn't happen without the Lord because no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. And no one comes to faith unless the Spirit births it in them. And then the saved were brought into the church. They were part of the church. And when God saves you, he doesn't just save you. He brings you into the body of Christ, which is the church. And that will always be true of the Christian. So the church has to be part of our life in Christ. Now notice the Holy Spirit created this devotion, but they also devoted themselves. And when we talk about devotion, well, let's just start to ask ourselves, well, what are we devoted to? How did that happen? Maybe you're devoted to a person. I remember someone on staff telling me once about they were dating this woman and he just realized, hey, there's other things I want to do, like play basketball and golf, and so he broke up with her. But for that entire week without her, he was miserable. And so he called her up, he apologized, they saw each other, and they saw each other every day until they got married. Devotion was born. Maybe you're devoted to golf. How did that happen? I mean, maybe you played it once and you had a good time, or maybe you enjoyed the guys you were playing with and you thought, okay, I'm going to be devoted to this game. And now you devote time and money and lessons and maybe even travel. You chose to be devoted. About a month ago now, I herniated a disc in my back. So, the first 3 days, I was like paralyzed and in pain. But finally got to the doctor, and he says, you need to strengthen your core. All right. And then I go to the physical therapist, and they say, you need to strengthen your core. And so, you know what? I have found an hour a day to either go to physical therapy or to strengthen my core. I found something to be devoted to. When you have, a few of it asked me a month ago, if I could devote an hour a day to something additional to my life, I would have said, no, I can't do that. But you see, we choose devotion. The scripture is telling us, this early church where the Spirit was present, these people devoted themselves to the scripture and to the fellowship and to the sacrament and worship and to prayer. If we account for all of reality, our life, our death, eternity thereafter, Christ is the only thing that matters. He is joy and fullness in this life. He is joy and fullness in the life to come. And the quality of that life, whether it's now or in eternity, depends on our devotion now. Our devotion to the apostles' teaching, to intimate fellowship with other believers, to Christ-centered and sacramental worship, and to a life of communion with God through prayer. This is the way of fullness, whether you're an individual or a church. We can be hopelessly devoted to stuff that does not work for us nor gain for us anything in eternity. Or we can be hopefully devoted to the things that do. They just need to be tried and lived. Let us pray. Well, we thank you, Father. You drew us to Christ. You enabled faith in us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you've drawn us into the fellowship and the worship of the church this day. That too is your work. And now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would prompt us and that we would respond to devotion to what you have taught, to the fellowship of our fellow believers, to worshiping you, and to a life of prayer. Speak to us about these things, Lord. We're listening. And we thank you, Lord, that your grace sustains us. For those who have struggles, we offer them to you now, praying that you would meet our needs, that you might even meet them through the body of Christ. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.